Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and today we are talking. We're talking a collaboration in journalism, and we're talking about what happens with your genetic data. Someone whose data, genetic data, shouldn't be replicated, shouldn't ever be used, and should certainly be, probably if it is being used, be phased out. Martin, how are you keeping?
They're cloning me, Tony. Did you not know
that? There's ever been an argument for eugenics.
Listen. Thanks for coming on along and having a listen. But look, we're throwing out a lot of podcasts here, 100 since the crisis began. So look, we need support. Patreon.com/tortoiseshack. Come on in and support us. Thank you.
Look, this Martin's right, actually. I want to say one thing, though. New podcast launched, the COVID Care one. The Police podcast is doing gangbusters. And Linda's pod with on the Packwoman podcast on the Dead Zoo. It's the most fun you can probably have on a pod at the moment. So you know what? If you don't want to get away from myself and Martin's doom and gloom, try one of the other pods on the network. We are blessed to have so many great contributors. Right, enough housekeeping. We are delighted to be joined on the line as by two of the journalists who contributed to the piece. We're missing Barry, I believe, but we have Killian Woods from the Business Post and Maria Delaney from Noteworthy and the Journal.ie. Thanks, guys, for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Look, when this story broke, obviously, we spoke before we came on about being a bit nerdish about these things. And we had spoken to Simon McGarr, the data protection lawyer, a solicitor, and we were... It must be last July, I think, 2019. And he referred to one of the Genomic Medicine Ireland, one of their things where the idea was a genetic fingerprint for Ireland and how that gave us grave concern. Maria, can you just bring us up to speed what your investigation uncovered about the GMI project?
Yeah, so GMI, which is Genomics Medicine Ireland, have now rebranded as Genuity Science. So they entered Ireland a few years ago with the aim of sequencing 400,000 Irish genomes. And so what we did as a collaboration with the Business Post was we looked at all the projects that are currently happening in Ireland and all the links with Genuity Science to different hospitals and different facilities around Ireland, and we found 25 different links to facilities. So over the last few years, obviously, it shows the growth in Genuity Science, and now they're in most major hospitals, universities, a number of research facilities, and we find links with two charities as well. So that's kind of the main bulk of the work that we did. And we also looked at some of the business backgrounds and also just spoke to various patient groups and scientists just about what this means for Irish people.
Killian, you and in your piece you spoke about the fact that there's a lot of money in this and the profits are up. Do you want to give us an idea of what's at stake here?
Yeah, and just to preface all and to follow what Maria said there, like our investigation looked at all those things you highlighted, but it is important to note that none of what's been done here is necessarily illegal. Like there has been some problems highlighted, like internal inquiries done on what's happening. Nothing actually, no wrongdoings been found. But the way I look at it in ways when you're arguing these things with lawyers sometimes doesn't necessarily have to be something illegal happening for something unethical to be happening or something that's just generic.
I goes without saying, we're not saying anything illegal is happening, but sometimes, and it's, I'm not saying it's the same in this case, but sometimes one of my favorite phrases is the crime sometimes is what's legal. Sometimes we work in systems that we look at and we go, you know, the checks and balances aren't working. And look, we can put that to one side now, and I appreciate you saying it, but just in terms of what the
money,
this matters.
Yeah, so let's just put it in an Irish context. I suppose this company, Genuity, was now rebranded as Genuity Science, and their accounts for 2019, which cover 2018-2019 recover, which were released in January, show that they've made 13 million since they set up, and that was exclusively selling access to their database. Now, it's still murky from the accounts exactly what that 13 million came from, but that is, it's noted in their account as commercial activities related to access to their data. Now that could be other whatever ways they've interpreted their data. That could be direct access to their genetic data they've taken, it's hard to know, and they haven't been clear about what exactly they've made the money off, which again is their right to not say. But then again, you put in that that's in the context of about 40 million in losses, which is not unsurprising for a startup or a company of that age. You know, they are heavily investing in trying to build up a long-term return. But you just need to look over at the US for Ancestry.com, which was bought by Blackstone. So Blackstone, you know, they're actually the owners of Blanchardstown Shopping Center. They're a huge real estate, but also just a general fund in general looking to make long-term investments. And they spent a couple of billion on Ancestry.com. And I think, you know, if you were probably to put my shoes in someone in genuity or in actual genomics medicine, they would look down on Ancestry.com as kind of being an incomplete or not quite accurate, not very good data set. So if they're willing to spend a couple of billion on that, what would something that's more accurate and more actually scientifically gathered be worth? So like we're talking about, in an Ireland context, very little made to date relative to losses, but I expect that to magnify year on year on year as they gather more and more and create more deals and more hospitals, more deals with some pharma companies and beyond those sort of companies, and then get up to that kind of billions. I think just my own opinion is why I take an interest in it is we're sleepwalking into this as no one's really, it's hard to quantify. And I'm not talking down to anyone when I say this, and I've said this to Maria and Barry and people talk before, when I'm asking them, like, why can't people get to grips with this being a big issue? And usually what comes back is, and I tend to agree now, is it's a very, very complex topic to explain how valuable this data is. And you know, we can back that up by seeing what some of the companies are buying it for, how many millions and billions.
Can I ask, where does the real danger lie in comparison to other forms of data? My personal data is my personal data. But my genetic data isn't just about me. Am I right about that?
Yeah, so my understanding from my genomics classes in my animal science equine courses, which is all still genomics, is, yeah, if you are give away your genetic data, that is also highly informative of what your family's genetic data is. So there we get into the first kind of ethical dilemma of it. Is it actually your data to give away if it is that highly personalized to a family, which is why the company we investigated and Beaumont Hospital were asked, they said they had to inform family members of a study they want to complete into brain tumors. They had to inform family members, did they want to unconsent? It's a weird word to bring into the lexicon. Like the idea of unconsenting shouldn't, it's like the unprecedented times, like unconsenting shouldn't really be a word we're using. But yeah, that's where. So they see that the government officials have pushed back against that, or the health committees have pushed back saying you have to unconsent people because if their family if it's been taken from their family members, they should have a say in it. And then there's families having discussions in the background whether they feel comfortable about that. But yeah, essentially the genetic makeup is highly personalized to you, but then highly informative of what your family, your mother and father would have, and then everyone beyond.
Maria, sorry, can I come in? Just you've hinted at it there, Killian, but Maria, this is repercussions far beyond just a company down in the Docklands with a fancy building. The state are invested in this.
So the state are invested through the investment arm of it's ISIF, the investment arm of the state. So they've invested over 60 million euro. Killian got the exact figure for investigation, but it's over 60 million euro through that. And I suppose that's one of the concerns from researchers I spoke to. Like one of the reasons I've been interested in this for the last while is I actually studied genetics in college. So it's kind of a very interesting development in this kind of sphere of science. And obviously it's important that people take part in genetic research, but it's this kind of privatization of it that a lot of researchers are worried about that we spoke to. And one of the big things is as well, there's no clause at the moment within government regulation or government policy that data you give to a company has to be given to other researchers. So that's one of the biggest things that people have an issue with, including scientists, is that there's no exclusivity limit. So at the moment, if you give your data to a private company, they don't have any limit on how long they can keep it before giving access to other researchers. So that's a huge issue in Ireland, and it has been addressed through regulation and policy in other countries. For instance, the UK Biobank, does private-public partnerships, but the private pharmaceutical companies such as Regeneron that partner with us only have access for 9 months exclusively, and then they have to open it up to everyone else. So I think that's one of the big issues and something that patients wouldn't get as much out of by participating in a purely private partnership with no limit on that kind of thing.
Killian, can I come back to unconsenting? Are we saying that the hospitals, the clinics, are giving this data without actually asking for any consent in the first instance, and then you must reclaim back your consent? And how does that fit with the DPC?
So, as part, my understanding is part of the when the GDPR came into place, there was a reassessment of the health research regulations and how they would apply, and that's where I suppose initially this company was flagged on myself. They were lobbying for looking for clarity on the health research regulations. In doing that assessment, the health research regulations, they saw that there was a need to look into how they would get access to medical clinical samples for in general health research if a patient could not consent. Now that could be and we did a report on that last year, and that could be someone coming in who is in a coma and there's something involved in how they are injured and on their makeup that they will be crucial to medical research, and there's a benefit to that. So there was a HRCDC, and that's the shortened. I always forget the exact Health Research Declaration Committee. I'm missing a C or a D
consent,
somewhere.
Consent, yeah.
Yeah, Consent Committee. And you can apply to them if you have access to a certain data set, which is, let's say, the Beaumont example, which people might have heard of before. Beaumont have access to 30 years of brain tumor samples. That's not genetic data. Technically, it needs to be turned into genetic data, but that is brain tumor samples. And they want to, they have no permission from those people. 85% of those people, by their own admission, have already passed away. So they have that access to that data, and they've no, and people did not consent directly for that being used for genetic research or genomic research. So they go to this committee now, which is newly set up, and they can say, look, this would be massively public to the public benefit. We want to get access to all this, turn it into genomic data and do a genomic and make a genomic database to try and research more into brain tumors. Now, that's where you get into the stage where they're not giving their consent. A committee is deciding for them that they're going to give consent. Now, in this case with Beaumont, the committee didn't give them permission, but the committee said, actually, we don't think it's appropriate. And it's been actually looked upon, speaking to people in the Department of Health, as a bit of a backdoor to research in general to get around consent. And there's other studies that we've highlighted from where, you know, people have been looking to access traveler DNA data that they have. And again, a lot of this is, I feel, with goodwill, but I think it sets a bad precedent for private companies coming in and using this backdoor to get access. But that's where we get into the unconsenting, where, yes, hospitals in the end are getting permission to give away data to companies to eventually be used without people's consent. But then it seems like the prerequisite that what they've been told to do is you have to then give people a chance to unconsent through a media campaign. That's ads and newspapers, which is, I hate to admit, is working in a newspaper quite a limited way of getting to the public if you want to actually tell them.
You need a TikTok influencer and a budget of 20 grand or something. Maria, just on that point, though, you spoke to people who actually felt that trust has been broken in some of these areas. Do you want to just give us an understanding of why that was? That's how they've expressed it, why they feel that there's a breakdown there.
Yeah, so I suppose just to, on Killian's point there as well, like most of the studies that are involved here with genomics actually do require informed consent or explicit consent, so the person would be asked. There's been a few exceptions like the Beaumont one. There's another one going to the HRCDC on Alzheimer's. So it is kind of an exception to not ask for the consent. But I suppose like in terms of people we were talking to in terms of trust being broken, and also a lot of researchers are worried about this as well. It's not just patient groups. They're worried that patients won't participate in research if trust is broken going forward. So the reason that some people feel trust is broken is, I suppose, to do with the opt-out in terms of Beaumont. Like they just didn't agree with the appeal decision. Genuity Science went to an appeal, and then the appeal committee gave them the option of opting out. So basically what Colleen was saying about unconsent. But the other reason is, I suppose there have been ongoing issues in terms of, there were some concerns highlighted in terms of patient information leaflets. So these are for studies that people actually would have been asked for their consent. But and again, the Data Protection Commissioner is looking into these kind of things at the moment, but there hasn't been any outcome as yet. But basically, there were some issues as well in Crumlin, where samples were sent to Genuity Science without any permission. And again, those samples have been retrieved. So it's these kind of ongoing things that have been happening. A lot of this was reviewed when the new health regulations were brought in, but I suppose it's just like the more and more that people see this in the news and they see these issues happening, it does lead to an erosion of trust. And that's kind of what the people we were talking to spoke about.
But when we take that to its natural conclusion, and the questions that people will ask is, you know, we can go to the mildly humorous section where I have a friend who had discovered he has a half sister because of an ancestry.com, a DNA search. You've people like us, who, if someone gave me a gift of an ancestry.com, I'd put it in a slingshot and fire it at them. But why this data? I'm asking you, Maria, probably as someone who said you studied genetics, this data obviously is valuable. But is it possible then to have the argument that we can anonymize it, or is that just pie in the sky stuff?
So, that's one question I asked a lot of experts I spoke to over the last few weeks. Is it possible to anonymize DNA? It isn't. It's just impossible. It's what we use for forensic science. It's what you look for in a crime scene. You can identify someone through their DNA. I suppose what they do in these studies is they call it de-identify. So they kind of de-link your names and other kind of identifiers and things like that. This type of research is really, really important. I suppose that was one of the key things from both patient groups and patient themselves, and as well as researchers. There has been huge discoveries in this area. Say, for example, one of the things in Ireland is cystic fibrosis. There's a drug called Trifecta, which has just recently been launched, and it's been a game changer. And that's entirely to do with what type of genetics or what type of genome you have in terms of cystic fibrosis. It's targeted at the actual mutation. So those kind of things are only possible through this type of research. But the issue is more the privatization of it and the consent. So it's fine if people kind of know what they're getting into. They know the implications of what they're doing. They've been asked and told kind of very well. And again, if someone wants to take part in Ancestry.com, it's completely their decision, as long as they know the research, what's going to happen to their genome, that maybe it'll be sold to pharmaceutical companies. Again, it's just down to what people consent to. So I think that's the big issue here, that the privatization, and a lot of researchers are proposing either a public genome project like they have in other countries, which requires government funding, which hasn't been the case to date, or a public-private partnership similar to the UK Biobank kind of model. But it's just, in Ireland, there's a complete kind of lack of any regulation or policy in terms of some of the areas that we were investigating.
I think it's interesting that you've said there is great benefits, and we've seen this particularly where medicine has moved into genetic medicine, and we've seen the likes of ipilimumab, pirenzolumab, these what would be called miracle drugs that have come through from this kind of research. Is the question here really a balancing of rights? Is that the key issue, is a balancing of rights, and it is too far balanced in the favor of private companies?
Well, that's my, I suppose, if you come back to my personal opinion about it, that is it. If it's a public-led system, it would be for the public's benefit. Whereas in the current state, what we're doing is we're letting the private industry, which seems to be widely agreed that they have to be involved in somewhere. It won't happen at the rate that is, I suppose, beneficial to even our generation if the private industry aren't involved. So if that's to be the case, let's just do it by a situation where we're setting the rules of how it will be used, when it will be used, and who can use it. But yeah, I think that maybe that's actually a good way of putting it. I hadn't thought of those phrasing, balancing of rights, because at the moment it just seems like if the private industry, and I sound like a crank just coming down, the privates are all bad. I've met a lot of people who are involved, and their hearts are in the right place. Like they are genuinely trying to advance medical science and genomic medicine. I just feel if we go headfirst into this and sleepwalk into it too fast, the repercussions could be. And the example I tend to use, if I'm trying to explain it to the kind of down the pub example, is, you know, in this area has gone at light speed. I remember even when I was in college, and it wasn't talked about, it was so expensive. Now it's down to being like, you know, where we can do it, the whole 400,000 people in the population for a relatively low amount of money, you know. So, but if in 10 years time you're going for a mortgage and all of a sudden somehow your bank knows that, oh right, okay, you're 35, you know, we have, and they might even say this to you, maybe, you know, they might have background access to extra information on you that's been sold to them by private industry, saying, we'd love to give you a mortgage, but we can't really give you the same mortgage as everyone else because we don't think you're going to make it to 55 or make it to 50.
Can you sign this waiver, please?
Your interest rate will be different, you know. Sorry, what was that one?
Can you sign this waiver, please? Is one of the, you know, like, you will, this happens already. So it's not pie in the sky stuff, Killian. It's happening right now today.
Well, it happens in insurance. Like insurance, yes. You know, insurance would say, oh, we don't use private investigators. And then every year in the Data Protection Commissioner's report, there's, you know, insurance companies been reprimanded for using private investigators. So like, it's just, why wouldn't, and the company has explicitly said to us, we will not be selling this data to insurance companies, and I'll take them at face value, but it's not about whether they sell it to insurance companies. Will insurance companies take it? And will an insurance company in the US say, it's a good amount of data going, and it could tweak how we do our business and save us 2% on their overheads in Ireland if we have this access to this data, you know?
I think one of the other issues as well is transparency, because say if in Ireland we've gone down the kind of privatized route, it's even the collaborations, like we put in press requests to everyone that we found links with Genuity Science, and we got very vague responses from some of the potential collaborators. Like say Cork University Hospital said it had no record of any projects, whereas Genuity Science said that they actually had projects, had ethical approval in terms of an active agreement between Cork University Hospital and Genuity.
And there's 13 hospitals with links to them.
It's more just even like some of the universities were kind of hiding behind contracts and confidentiality clauses when we asked them like how much funding they received or what projects they were involved in. And like, we made their life really easy. Like, we actually gave them a list of projects that we found and a list of people who were working on them and that kind of thing. So it wasn't like they had to go and search for them. And yet, like, we still got kind of very vague responses. And I don't think that really helps in terms of the transparency involved either.
I know, Martin, you want to come in, but I just want to make back on Killian's point about the use of the data and why it can be used later on. It's a slight digression, but it amuses me nonetheless, because it is relevant that park runs that are successful all across the country very quickly found that they could get a sponsorship from a very well-known insurance company, and the data that was recorded of your times and your PBs and how you're running, and you're going, why would they want that? And I just thought, oh my god, this is it's not, you know, we have to be more smart about these relationships and why they would be so keen to sponsor an event like that. Martin, sorry.
You've mentioned that there could be a fully public process, that we could undertake this as a government, as a country ourselves. That kind of open source would seem to be a better model, a better fit for Ireland. Why is the government taking a different route than using open source or fully public?
Well, just from the researchers I spoke to, a lot of them have been campaigning for that for years. Kind of most healthcare charities are the same. They've been campaigning for that. It seems to be down to a thing, like the people, like even everyone we spoke to who is doing projects with Genuity Science preferred a public model. Even Genuity Science have called for a public project. So like it seems to be a complete will out there for it. But it just seems to be a lack of funding being put into it. Like some of the experts we spoke to said that there seemed to be a lack of political will. So and then obviously the investment arm invested this huge amount of money into Genuity Science. So like a lot of the experts we spoke to were concerned that that kind of investment wasn't put into a public project. Like some people said, it's kind of, they're just making the best of what's there now. So like, that's why a lot of researchers are working with them. Like they don't feel like they have any other option. There hasn't been any government funding put into a public project. So yeah, it's kind of a dilemma for researchers, that they obviously are genetic researchers. They want to do this type of research. And at the moment, that's kind of the main option for them to go down.
So we're working off the we are where we are model, really, instead of looking to see, is there a better model? What kind of money has the government put into this?
The figure that came back to us was 66 million into the company, and that's now valued at just over 68. Their investment has gone up in value to just over that amount. And I'd say that's based on probably when the company was bought out by WuXi NextCode, when Genomics Medicine Arm was bought out by WuXi NextCode in 2018, the government also invested more money. That was when they invested their largest amount of money, which I just can't remember off the top of my head, but that was their second amount. They'd already invested in the company as part of a seed round, multi-million investment, and that's where the bump in their value has probably come from, with that original investment, which I think is around the 15 million mark, I think it was.
Is there an ROI in this for government? Is there a return on investment for government?
Well, like when in the annual report, and as far as they could go with us, was saying that the idea of their investment is to make Ireland into a genomics hub. And it's very vague, but that would sound like a jobs is their remit. But that's very much an IDA remit. Like the idea of ISAF is meant to go in, make money and leave. So, and I don't know if anyone else is probably in a position to buy out Genuity Science in its current form, especially the size it's gotten to now. It is kind of becoming one of the bigger players in the world, especially with the amount of data it's gathering. So I can't really see a return on investment for it, not in the short term anyway. There's not really anyone who would be in the position to buy it.
Yeah, you can't.
Unless it was a huge fund. But then again, why would, like, WuXi are huge in themselves. If they're already like a huge collection of different pharma companies who would probably be reluctant to sell something that's on the right track to gathering data they need for other parts of their business.
And just to go back to Maria's point, though, about how some of this cutting edge science and medicine, and how it can stand to benefit people. And, you know, because we're not going to just be all negative here about this, as in, you know, these advances are potentially can, you know, we can have all sorts of advances that will actually benefit us, Maria. Should we be trying to balance that with these what I'd call real honest felt concerns?
Yeah, like we obviously need to balance this. Like, you don't want to put people off partaking in genomic research. I think the key is people need to ask questions when they're asked to participate in these. Like there's not always a direct benefit to the people who participate, but like, is there actually going to be a benefit? Like, are people actually going to do research, or are people simply there to create a database and sell it on? So I think, like, and one of the issues that some people said to us is that a lot of these studies are happening in hospitals. So it's the doctor or the nurse that maybe that you're used to approaching you to participate in these studies. They mightn't realize that it's been funded by a company, that it's the data is going to a company, that it's not necessarily going straight to like a pharmaceutical company or something like that, that are doing research. So I think like that's one of the issues, and that's where like really clear consent and that kind of thing is important. And like, obviously Genuity Science have said that they are giving clear consent and abiding by the health regulations and everything like that. But I think it's also important, as a number of patient groups pointed out to us, that people are informed, like the general public know that this is happening, and they ask the right questions whenever they're approached. Like, it is, like, I've done research myself, like, it is important to participate in research, but again, it's just also important to know what the research is for as well.
Is the DPC, or is there anything pending before the DPC to address the balancing of rights in this issue, or is it just left out there at the moment?
So there have the DPC, when they were flagged with one of the issues in the hospitals, rather than engaging the company just on on that issue, they did a whole overall compliance cooperation. This lingo used to stop short of saying the word investigation, because that's clearly what they stress engagement. Very clearly that there is no investigation or inquiry or anything happening at all. Engagement is the word. So they've engaged with the company over everything. After the issues were found with, I suppose, some of the Children's Health Ireland transfer the data, and that's where I believe the original issue was flagged from. They have decided, and Galway Hospital as well. They've decided instead of just isolating those, we're going to look at everything the company is doing and bring it into compliance. So instead of investigating the company and reprimanding it, they're bringing them into compliance, which would be very different to investigation and probably not be what some people would like to hear from the issues they raised the DPC. And it's taken a long time, but I understand this can be done very, very soon, or there will be an announcement very soon on the overall engagement, but it will not result in an investigation.
It doesn't really bode well when we've had a similar investigation, particularly into the pinprick, and that the pinprick of newborn babies, and it has taken I don't know how many decades for and they're still holding that data, even though they've been told not to hold the data. How do we, if you've given your information and you choose to opt out, what then happens? How do they take your specific DNA out of the data set that they have?
Well, ideally, it shouldn't even get to the data set that they have, but that's where it gets, maybe Maria's better on that. That's where it gets really murky. If it is pseudonymized, which is another term I feel is just a load of nonsense, but like an anonymized in some form or de-identified, once it's in their database, like, you should still be able to go in.
This is like 1984 language, isn't it?
I find that particularly troubling, I suppose, with some of this, is you do come across in doing this investigation, just reporting on them in general. It's when you start to come across new language being used or words being kind of invented to define what's going on, you get into murky territory.
It is very ungood, Killian. Very ungood.
if you can't just use the normal word, technical terms like consent and, you know, proper agreements in place. I honestly don't know. Like, I know of people who have put in like a data access request to hospitals, seeing if their data has gone and they've been stonewalled. So that's what will get me very worried, is that just due to a lack of resources. And I even know that Children's Health Ireland seems to have not had a data protection officer for a long time, because they only earlier this year tendered for looking for a new one, and it didn't really hint at all that there was an outgoing one. And when I asked them who the outgoing one was, or was there an outgoing one, they didn't answer my question. So like, that's what would get me into the conspiracy theory worrying mode, if you want to, or leaning towards that element where I would be, if I was looking for my data, I wouldn't be very confident about sourcing it, or be very confident that it won't go where I don't want it to go. Because as you said, if it's just been de-identified and thrown into a mix and handed over, how do you, and their argument is that it can't be identified, which, you know, then how do you get it back?
Maria, do you want to give your thoughts on that last point?
Yeah, no, it is actually a big issue with genomic databases. Like, there is a few ways of doing it, but some of the studies say that it's impossible to opt to, basically, once you enter into the study and once your genome is sequenced and in this database, it's impossible to get out of it. And I think, like, that's the implication in the bone marrow study, that if you don't opt out by, it's the 31st of December now, they pushed out the date a few times, that you can't opt out after that date. Whereas a number of experts I spoke to said it should be possible to opt out at certain points if you are in a database. So basically, I was talking to an expert in Europe that was had done a lot of research on consent, and she was saying once, if before your data is sequenced, you can obviously opt out because it isn't in the database. But once it's in the database, you should be able to opt out and get removed from the database. But obviously, you can't get removed from any research that is already done because it's already done and in papers and everything like that. But you should be able to get removed going forward. So I think that's one of the big concerns, actually, that a lot of people have, is this kind of you're forever in the database, which is implied in some of the studies. So I think that is something that needs to be addressed.
Last point for me, you've both done great work, and I mean really great work in exposing this. Has this led you down a rabbit hole where you've found much more of this going on? Or are we just talking this one particular company? Or are we worried about that it's going on everywhere?
I've been following this since April of last year, and there's definitely more that I think there to come. I've not come across any other companies of this, even of Genuity scale in Ireland. There's a few other small players who wouldn't have the same backing as they would. Maybe, you know, small players looking in there in looking at the same work on a much again emphasized smaller scale. But it's definitely happening in other countries, that they're worried, because even you just need to look at the committee hearings from the US Senate, where maybe they're a bit alarmist, but they feel that they're very concerned about genetic data being passed on to the Chinese. And that's a whole different, you know, maybe partially xenophobic topic for another day, and where that's grounded in. But they're very, very worried about it, and have fired some broadsides across pharma companies working with them and gathering this sort of data, worrying it's going back to the Chinese. And they use the word genetic weaponry or genomic weaponry that could be used against US citizens. So they're worried about it happening in their country. All I've come across in other countries is broadly good models that have little bits and pieces we could add to our own for a public system. In my research, I didn't come across anyone who has gone fully private like Ireland has.
Yeah, I think like Professor Orla Hardiman said to us, she's from Bow Mountain Trinity, that it's a bit of a wild west here. And I think that's the thing. Like, it's just because Genuity Science are kind of the biggest, the company at the moment, it's more the government's response that is the issue rather than any one company. And I think that's the big thing. Until we deal with the lack of structure to deal with private companies in this area, we're going to have more companies coming in and kind of exploiting this kind of lack of limit on exclusivity and that kind of thing. So I think that's the big issue here, is like the government's response. And that's kind of what we found in the investigation, that needs to be addressed by the government rather than any one company.
When you have the Taoiseach on record at the time as Taoiseach saying this is a success story and being really excited about it, well, we have, you know, we're not misquoting him. These are his own words. So, you know, it gives you a sense of where the logic on that lies.
Yeah, I think it's unusual. I don't think it's unusual that Ireland is considered the Wild West where data is concerned. I mean, we have seen it in lots of different areas, but genomics is just that one area that can affect so many people, and it's on a different scale altogether. Thank you very much for coming in and have this discussion with me, or with us. We could actually talk about this a lot more and for a lot longer. And I do hope that we can come back to it again in the future. I know you're still working on it, but I do hope we can come back to it again in the future.
Just remember, listeners, it's ancestry.com is bringing you this podcast. And if you enter code Tortoiseshack at checkout, you get a 10%. Don't go near it. Stay away from it. Killian Woods, Maria Delaney, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks very much.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.